Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder coming to you from Missouri, and today we have a true tri-continental report, and we're delighted to have back with us for the first time in many years and out of prison in Germany for thought crimes or whatever they felt necessary to concoct, Alfred Schaefer.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Alex and Jan, for having me back on the show here. And it's really, I always say these 4 years in prison for my thought crimes was not a waste of time, quite the opposite. It was a real learning experience. And I also got to really understand and feel the change, the shift, the dynamic paradigm shift, might want to call it, mm-hmm. In everybody wanting to really now understand and wanting to position themselves on our side as they are beginning to understand the grotesqueness of all these lies that we are suffocating beneath.
Sure.
And that's what we need to talk about on this show, is how we can reach those people who haven't yet grasped the severity of this thing, and also the opportunities that we all have in these interesting, turbulent times. And
Now, Alfred, you're still in Germany right now, is my understanding.
Yeah, that's correct. And they're trying to suffocate me with all kinds of rules and so forth. But I always say that anybody who is a psychopathic criminal has got no rights to tell a sovereign human being what to do and what not to do. So I just completely and totally ignore the silly nonsense that they expect me to do, because it would be like if I told you, you're not allowed to breathe anymore. I don't think you should obey me. You should just, that's what it is. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, we've seen them when they let Alison Chablot out of prison. Then they hammer around with all these restrictions that make no sense and these distinctions that aren't real. And so, yeah. Anyway, what do you think? What has changed, do you think, in the intervening 4 years from your point of view?
Yeah, the biggest change is the receptivity of people to hitherto uncomfortable or what they would consider revulsive facts, truths. And these words that they use to try to condition us with and to keep us down, to beat us down, are completely losing their power. In fact, it's becoming these words, Nazi or racist or all these words, are actually now useful for exposing the people who are still completely indoctrinated and have been conditioned with these words, because they are completely, totally meaningless. They are artificial words, sort of like if in the old days of horse and buggy, the guy who's the coachman would he just click with his tongue, for example, a sound like or something like that, and the horse would understand immediately it's time to start moving. Or you get a dog and you can, snap your fingers.
It's
conditioning. And the Jews have conditioned us human beings like dogs, like the most primitive, stupid, mindless dogs to do their bidding. And when they just use these words like a magic wand against us, then we're supposed to either drop on our knees
Everything we need to value about ourselves and defend about ourselves is encompassed by this word racism that they try to scare you away from. That's what it is. It's intimidation. And if they scare us out of, intellectually or physically defending ourselves, then all is lost. And we increasingly see that. Yeah. I mean, we have just terrible, terrible racial crime going on in the USA right now. And no one will describe it honestly. Oh, it's the Democrats. They live in a Democrat-run city. It's just insane. But
and all of these things are geared to against us as the Aryan stock people, as the white
yes.
race. If we even come close to using the same, to behave in the way that they are behaving against us, if we just try to neutralize that, then we are demonized, and it's getting more intense all the time. And the I'll say the the epitome of this whole thing right now is the fact that what the Germans have been accused of since before we were born with this hollow hoax nonsense about an industrialized extermination of a particular group of people. Now, what do you say when the eternal poisoners of the wells have now modernized and got a business model to really rake in the profits by injecting all of, especially the white race, with this COVID bioweapon, Jew shot, kill shot? I mean, this is genocide on an unprecedented scale, and we either wake up or we go down in history as extinct. And it's like Eustace Mullins had said a long time ago, before 9/11 already, and he had said something about what he was observing. He says this will elicit a biological response, and we have to see it, all of everything that's happening, through the lens of precisely that. A biological attack will elicit a biological response. And when people begin to understand how we have been raped, murdered, mass murdered, raped, and being mocked at the same time, and now we're supposed to, whatever's left of us is supposed to just go away and die, or, you know, get killed through these jet shots, that is going to elicit a certain response. And when people understand, okay, they've been foolish or stupid enough, or they've been railroaded into getting the kill shot themselves, but when they understand their children have been railroaded into getting this kill shot, then there will be nothing to stop them. Nothing can stop them from doing whatever they're going to want to do to get even with that, and give their own life that modicum, minimum value, by at least getting their revenge, even with who did that to them. And if it was a doctor, and if the doctor's not a Jew, who cares? He was the conditioned dog of a Jew. The doctors who are injecting people here in Germany, for example, they do it because they can really make a lot of money. There are doctors here who are making like 2,000 euros a day by injecting people with rat poison. So this is how the Jews do it. The Jews get everyone complicit in their crimes by paying them to do it for them. And that way, all these people who are complicit in the crime will also be more reluctant to try to prosecute the crime, because they are also guilty. But that only goes to a certain point, and then it just snaps. And then the later people wait to understand that, the higher the price to come out onto our side. And I don't care if they don't allow this to be said. That's the fact, you know. If they don't allow you to say it's raining outside when it's raining, it's not going to change the fact that it's raining. I mean, this is a biological response, and any subservience to their ridiculous, pathetic screeching and barking at us is just like, if you're not getting barked at and screamed at, you're not doing something right. I mean, that's what everybody knew in the Third Reich. If you're not being accused of the Jews as being something really evil, then you're not doing anything at all, really.
Yeah, you know what they say, you're not over the target. If you're not getting anti-aircraft fire, you're not over the target. If you're not talking about Jews, then yeah, it's easy on you. But if you are, then you're doing the right thing, because that's what matters.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And one thing, going back to your initial question about what changes I really noticed that have taken place in the 4 years that I was in prison. And I will say, in hindsight now, that I'm really glad I did not come out any earlier than I actually did, because they lifted the mask mandates here in Germany, and in that prison, about 3 weeks before I was released. And this was so important. It was almost like everything was done almost perfect for my own benefit. And for example, I was not able to use the line I'm going to tell you right now until actually the point where I was released. So I'll tell you what my line is, that you cannot imagine how many millions of fully indoctrinated, politically correct, and by definition, clinically insane, vaccinated zombies would do anything if they could to trade their coffin for my prison cell. Okay. Now, had they only made use of their God-given brain and their God-given fists, they would still be alive today. But now it's too late. And I'll tell you what happened about maybe 3 months or so before I was released. There's a couple of wardens. They came to my cell door and they opened the little thing there, and they says, "Well, Mr. Schaefer, would you like an appointment to get a vaccine?" And I told them, I says, "You know, the doctor who comes too close to me with a needle, I'm going to punch his teeth out with my fist." And they say, "Oh, Mr. Schaefer, why are you so violent?" And I says, "I'm not violent. It's purely self-defense. You know, if you think, you know," and I told him, like, "Come to me with a needle and I'm going to punch your teeth out. And that's, I'm not joking. I'm serious. You want to murder me? I'm going to do everything I can to defend myself until I'm dead." You know, and that's people have to understand what this is, what these Jew shots are. They are lethal. They are a bioweapon, and the people will lose their own natural ability to fight off
immunity, yeah.
And so immunity, their own immunity, and they will die a death similar to AIDS. I mean, this is what it is. They are being injected with.
This is AIDS. Really interesting. And what we've seen in the USA, as we've seen around the world, the deaths are higher than they should be, particularly among, you know, middle-aged people. That's from the fake vaccine, and the pregnancy or the birth rates are down considerably. What is the attitude in Germany? I'm interested. Over here, we have a few brave doctors who stood up. The rest, like you say, are in it for the money, or they're just simply complete absence of any kind of moral courage to stand up for the truth. And they just go along because otherwise their reimbursement is cut if they don't shove this rat poison into people. What is it like in Germany?
It's absolutely... It's mind-boggling that anybody could continue to go along with this, you know, like now, like but people are now beginning to wake up. So we can expect that this is going to be like these are exponential curves that all sort of produce feedback and affect the other exponential curves. And this is the absolutely perfect storm that's brewing right now. And this will come to a point where this is a life and death struggle now for civilization itself. If we do not turn this around, it is the end of what we call Western civilization. We have been rotted out and destroyed to the point where none of our ancestors would have let this go anywhere near to the point where we find ourselves now. And that's and if any of our ancestors could see what has happened to their offspring, it would break each and every one of their hearts. Totally and absolutely. They could not believe what they are seeing is the reality. That's how far we have fallen. Now there's a price to pay for that. Life that has been rotted out to that point it's terminally ill. So this is a really a do or die situation. And this understanding that also is the golden opportunity for anybody who still considers themselves a human being. A man is a man, a woman is a woman, and these people who understand that, this basic common sense, it is their time. Their time has come to stand up above the crowd, and this is a biblical event. What's happening right now? And either we get it or we go down, and that's that simple. So there's like. I'm not afraid to say anything at all, because there are people within the system who are waging on, banking on us to win. And I want to just, you know, I guess I'm hogging the conversation a little bit now, but this is
not at all. Not at all. I want to hear all that.
Yeah, I want to tell you, and I want to prove to you how they are banking on us to win, and we are not aiming to disappoint them. 4 months before I was arrested. But, you know, I got a note from the state prosecutor here in Germany. I can go and pick up some stuff that they had confiscated in previous raids. I'd been raided a number of times. And so I went down to Munich, you know, and picked up some stuff. And one of the things was my big Apple iMac on which I made my videos and so forth. And so I picked that up amongst other things as well. And I brought it home, and I did not even dare to turn it on because I thought, well, it's going to be all buggered up. It's all be bugged, and it'll probably be not non-functional. Plus, I had new equipment that I was using. But then after a while, I says, no, you should just turn it on. Plug it in and turn it on. So several weeks after I had picked it up, I turned it on. And so this was stolen from me in 2000, about April of 2016. Okay, so you go back in that time, you know, to where we were in terms of our awakening and so forth. And then I could not believe my eyes when I turned the power on. It was, everything was in perfect order. They had no damage, nothing was removed. And it says, holy smokes, this is really strange that they would just return it in such good condition. And my way of operating at that time was files that I found were very, very important for work I still had it, you know, to do something with. I'd leave them right in the middle of my desktop. So not hidden anywhere. It was right in the middle of my desktop. Now, one of the files, there's other files there too, but one of the files right smack dab in the middle was a file of Larry Silverstein gloating about the fact that he had the plans for the new World Trade Center on his desk. His team was working on the new plans in April of 2000. Now, and then he goes on and he says, then we used Liberty bonds, blah, 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 to finance this and finance that. And then he says, and by 2002, the construction was underway. Now, this segment of his speech was about 2 minutes long, and it was right there smack dab in the middle of my desktop. Now, Munich Re is the insurance company that he was defrauded by Mr. Larry Silverstein to the tune of something like $6 billion, okay? Mm-hmm. So I told these guys, and before I was released from prison, I was writing in my letters openly that I'm waiting for my first big bill from these screwballs, and then I'm going to kick off this Larry Silverstein thing. And so one of the conditions they slapped on me is I have to go and see a parole officer once a month, plus I have to go to the police station once a month. And I says, that's fine. And all these things have been just hugely in my favor. Like every one of them is like a story for themselves. But I go to these parole officers, and the first time I go there, it was all very, very nice, you know, very, very polite people. And this guy, and I tell them, I says, you know, you are my go-to man for this 9/11 insurance fraud here, just so that you know, okay? And I told him, and even your superiors are waking up and they're helping us because they could have erased that. And I go into all these details. And so, of course, he didn't really want to know anything about that. But then I did leave him with a DVD from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, okay? Mm-hmm. I says, here it is, you know, it's still sealed and everything. It's for you. And then a month later, I go there. That was the second visit. So I've had my two visits so far. And then I asked him, well, have you had a chance to look at the DVD? Oh, no, no, we had to give it away to this department. They have to make sure there's no blah, blah, blah on it. So they have a feeble, feeble excuse not to look at it. And then I says, well, never mind. You're not going to escape seeing the evidence. And then I opened my laptop. I had my laptop there. And I says, now I'm going to show you this Larry Silverstein video I talked to you about. So I turned it on. I played it. And it's in English. So I said, did you understand that? And he says, yes, I did. And it says, okay. And then I pulled the USB stick out of my pocket, and it says, the same file is on this USB stick, so I'm going to give this to you. Oh, no, no, we can't take that. You know, they start backing off. They can't take that because blah, 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 blah. And at this place where other prisoners are supposed to go who are on parole, you know, there's a rules thing, like, you know, behavioral rules thing on the hallway and the wall. And one of the rules was, do not use feeble excuses to escape responsibility. Okay. So I says, you guys are, you know, this is a great, I'm really loving this. You guys are just doing great. You're breaking all of your own rules. And this, and it's so easy. Once we reach a certain point, we can just beat them with their own bullshit rules, but you have to engage them. You cannot, it's not going to happen by crawling on the ground and sniveling and trying to obey them. No. We do not evade the truth no matter what it is, and we use the opportunities wherever we can to you know, get everybody involved and make them understand, you know, what's at stake here. And then I'll have another meeting with them in a couple of weeks, I guess it is, and I'm going to just keep after this. So it's going to be so uncomfortable for them to you know, how are they going to react? Arrest me? They might come and arrest me. So what? This is all turning so fast now. It, you know, we cannot use the fear of having to go to prison to affect our behavior. When you are defending the truth, there is no compromising by the truth. When you're dealing with psychopaths, you do not give them not one millimeter. You give them nothing. You have to, there is no compromising when it comes to truth, because it will be at your expense. It'll be at the expense of someone. And also, when you compromise with the truth and you're dealing with a psychopath, they will use that little bit, that little tiny bit, and claw everything back that you ever gave them. You know, so that's it. That's where we're at.
Okay. Well, now, since more recently we've had this war, Russia and Ukraine, and I'm wondering, now that they basically, the EU leadership doesn't represent the interests of anybody in Germany, and apparently everybody's going to freeze. What do you think about all that? You know, purely in order to get the sexual perversion and the physical genetic destruction into Ukraine and then into Russia, if they can. What are you seeing from Germans over there?
Well, the information that we're getting here on any media is, of course, just nothing but absolute nonsense. There's not a grain of truth in anything that's reported anymore. But when I was in my prison cell, they still had one Russian station on the television there. So I was watching that, you know, and just I could learn quite a bit just by watching the pictures in the background and when they were reporting on what's going on in the West. And I mean, this Zelensky he's a Jew, of course, and the Jews. And you have to understand the plan of getting as many people out of the Ukraine so that they, you know, make it Israel 2.0 in the Ukraine. Now that's where most of the Jews in Israel actually originate from, is this area in the Ukraine anyway. So they're trying to basically ethnically cleanse it as much as possible, so they can move up from Palestine. Zelensky he's sort of stepped in for the most hated man in the Ukraine, which was the Kolimovsky or whatever his name was. There was this billionaire Jew who fled to Israel after his, you know, he couldn't really stay in the Ukraine without getting killed, probably. So this whole war and what it'll do now with, I think this wintertime, we're going to see some major blackouts in Europe, and not only in Europe, because this whole infrastructure, keeping the infrastructure going, is now being jeopardized by what's happening there. And they try to weaken Russia with all these, sanctions and all this. But the ruble has come out as the strongest currency in the world after that. And as if the new customers that Russia has found for their natural gas, as if they're just going to, as if Russia's going to just go back and sell it to Europe after they found such fantastic new markets for their products. I mean, this is so, and the politicians, I'll give you another example. There's Habeck is the name of the Green Party, a minister here. Yeah. And he has already moved his family to Denmark out of Germany because he says, I don't want them to get killed when this thing goes down. Like even the politicians who are doing this to us, they are understanding their time is over. If they get spotted at outside on the street, like or the campground or someplace, people are screaming at them, you murderers, murderers. Like people are waking up they are crapping themselves, which is right. I mean, they cannot pretend they didn't know. They went along with it because it was lucrative, and now it's catching up to them, and there's no place for them to run and hide. But you see, that you have to also understand, and this entire construct, it's sort of like if you have a computer and it is just screwing up everything. You cannot feed it any information and get nothing, or anything you put into it, just garbage comes out. Then you have to understand how the computer works and what is wrong with its operating system. And when you see everything about this so-called Jewish faith, this Jewish religion, and look at it in terms of an operating system that these parasites are running on, it all makes sense, every little part of it. And then we also know what needs to be done. I mean, if you have a computer that is screwing up all your work, well, if you cannot reprogram the computer, then I would definitely give you the advice, get the biggest hammer you have in your work shed and slam down on that computer as hard as you can, smash it into 6 million pieces and burn these suckers. You know, I mean, that's all you can do with them. Or if you can't rewire it, if you cannot fix the operating system, if you can't delete it and reformat it. And that's what's happening here. And every component of the Jewish faith plays into this. I'll just give you one example, and then I'll give you the microphone back. Is that in the Talmud, it says a non-Jewish girl of 3 years and one day, they're always very specific, is ideal for sleeping with. In other words, raping, okay? And after the holy man, the rabbi, which is the gangster, the criminal cabal, the top, you know, the leaders kind of thing. after they have done that with a 3-year-old non-Jewish girl, raped and killed her, then why do they do that? Do they do it because it's enjoyable? Is it, do it to teach the girl something about sex? No. The real reason why the Jews do exhibit this kind of behavior is it's to practice overcoming empathy, because if you have any empathy in you whatsoever, then you will have problems doing what a good Jew does. For example, 9/11, or decimating the Germans and then feigning the Holocaust, holding your hand open and screeching Holocaust, Holocaust, and collecting cash for something that you did to them. It's a little bit like put it this way, to try to make it clear beyond the shadow of a doubt what the biological response will look like in this thing that we are now experiencing. What will happen in your town where you live if some guy moves into that town and after a while all the people find out that this is the guy who's been raping and actually killing all the little girls in the neighborhood? And then you confront him with that, and he starts whining about his sore penis and he wants money from you because his penis is sore. Is he going to live longer and you're going to start feeling sorry for him, or do you just kill him? Now, I played this scenario out with prisoners in that prison, and 100% of the time, this was like a role play. The reaction was the same. I says, pretend I'm the guy. And they says they wanted to just kill me on the spot, even though it's only a role play. So that's the reaction that we can expect when this goes through. And it is going through. It's not because people are, they have this disease called anti-Semitism that the Europeans have tossed these parasites out for so many times, hundreds of times out of different areas. And if just because they've done it globally now and they think they have us all in the bag ready to kill with this COVID shot, that they're going to get away with it. They have to actually kill us to get away with it. Because if that guy who raped all the girls in your town killed everyone in town, he'd actually get away with it, okay? But this is the situation they have now. And that's why we're talking about it. And that's why just me saying these things, I'd supposed to be go to jail. You know, they're supposed to come and pick me up tomorrow. But let's see if they do. I doubt if they will, because they know that they put me on stage in court someplace. I'll be talking exactly there as I am talking to you now. And they know that it was their superiors who gave me back that computer with the Larry Silverstein video on it. And that's what they still have to come clean on. So that's it. We've got them. We've got them in the bag.
Well, good enough. Jan, do you have a question or two?
I was listening with tremendous interest to the many, many things Alfred raised there, and lots of it's interesting. I like your sore penis sort of story there. You know, you're quite right that if whites have got a natural human response, we've got natural responses. And I was looking at a nice little article that somebody wrote on one of their blogs, a National Socialist guy. And in 2018, he wrote this nice little article about how our natural immune system, our natural, let's call it immune system to Jewish behavior and blacks, etc., how it is being suppressed. And that is actually what's happening to all whites. That is why they shut people up. Another thing they do is they hide crime. They hide the crimes of Jews. They hide the crimes of blacks. And they do that so that the whites don't start losing their minds. And here in Africa, Alfred, there are whites who've been tortured to death. People have been actually tortured to death on farms and things, even in the city. And all that they did was they stopped publishing the race of the criminal, and they stopped publishing details of the crimes. And long ago, you used to be able to see some crime scene photos. Now you can never see any crime scene photo on anything. And if whites were exposed to crime scene photos of real crimes, whites in South Africa and probably in America and other places would go ballistic. They'd want to go and tear those people to pieces. And I feel very strongly about letting the truth out regarding crimes. And that's also why Jews hide so much stuff. They're constantly hiding, and when they can't hide it, then they just lie. And that's the other thing about them. They never stop lying. Alfred, they'll lie until the end of time. Because there is a quote from some rabbi, I forget his name, but the rabbi said that if the goyim knew the truth, then the goyim would kill them all. And they know that.
I know that quote. I'm familiar with that quote. It says, if the goyim knew what we were doing, they would kill us openly in the street, openly in the street. And there's, you can take quotes from these rabbis, and they, and just using those quotes, we can completely analyze it completely, because they look at themselves, and that is why they will keep ramping this up. They're censoring now. They will soon, just like they did in Russia, if you get caught with the protocols or the Talmud or something, if a non-Jew gets caught with that, that is the death penalty. That's how afraid they are of us finding out. But they cannot get the cat back in the bag now with all the crimes they've done on the global scale. And Jan, you hit the nail right on the head with your thing about how they keep us from knowing or understanding what is happening. But that is over. That's game over. And as this whole matrix, as our infrastructure breaks down, and everyone knows someone who's died from their Jew shot, their injection, everyone, you know, like people start to learn, and they can, there's a point in everyone's life when they will start to open up for understanding the truth. And it's this opening up to understanding the truth that I noticed in the prison, where the 2 days before, and now I'm going to give you one more story to prove my point. 2 days before my release, actually, I'm going to go back a week before my release. A week before my release, they says, Mr. Schaefer, you have to go into this, you're going to have you have to appear before a judge in a televised web internet kind of a connection with the judge, and they will judge what your conditions will be for releasing. That was 1 week before my release. Now, my release was supposed to be July 4th, which was the American Independence Day, but because that was a Monday, they moved it up to the July 1st, which was also good because that was a Canadian Independence Day. So I always say I got out of the Canadian Independence Day. And 1 week before that was the 24th of June, which was Monica, my sister, her birthday. And then they dragged me into this room. It happened to be on that date. And this the screen went, you know, I had those headphones there and the screen was there. And this woman was on the other end, and she starts talking to me about some stuff about extreme right. And I says, what are you talking about extreme right? I don't talk to anybody there. I only talk to people like I'm talking to you who are sitting in front of me. Like, I'm not right. I'm not left. I'm not, you know, I'm right here in this chair. So use terminology I understand. And then she goes on and on and on. And then I says, you know, since this is televised, I just want to, and it's my sister's birthday, I want to sing happy birthday to Monica. So I started singing happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. And I, and then she gets all upset because I wanted to make her understand very clearly. I have what she's, her terminology and what she's saying is just, I mean, she could sit there and fart for me. It's the same thing. It's just, I cannot take it seriously. And then she says, Mr. Schaefer, blah, blah. She gets all upset. And I just kept on singing until I was finished singing happy birthday to my sister. And I said, since this is done on the internet, I'm sure you can just send her a file. She'd be just delighted. And then several days later, just a couple days later, because this was like, that was 1 week before, and 2 days before I was released, and they had just lifted the mask mandates. And so I had just come out of 558 days of isolated, you know, of complete isolation, you know, 23-hour a day lockup. Because they let me out and mix with the other prisoners after the mask mandate was over, because they knew that I was always just, you know, I never took the mask stuff seriously. I was always giving them a hard time with that. So they just locked me in solitary confinement for those 558 days. Anyway, two days before I got released, then there's a whole team of wardens that came, were suddenly in front of my cell, and they showed me a photocopy of a letter, and they says, we want to see the original. And I says, well, you know, and this was just a charade. This was just an excuse to go through my cell. And I pleaded with them not to ransack it like they've done before, you know, since I've got my stuff all packed up ready to go in 2 days. And they actually, and I says, you know, I could find that letter for you if you'd let me, but no, I had to wait outside the cell as a whole team of them went in and went through every single thing in my cell. And I was standing outside, and a warden stood beside me with a mask on, and I didn't have a mask on. So and I had lots of time because they took lots of time in my cell. And I looked at him, and he was standing about less than a meter beside me, and all the other prisoners could see me, and this was at the end of the hallway kind of thing. And I said, you know, when you standing beside me with that mask on, that is, I'll tell you what, I says, you know, if I was walking beside you this far apart as we are standing apart right now, and I had my finger stuck up my ass, and I was grinning at the people and saying, the reason I could keep my finger stuck up my ass is for the reasons of hygiene, okay? Now, this would be so embarrassing for you that you would probably say, oh, Mr. Schaefer, I'm sorry, but I cannot walk this close to you. You're just too embarrassing for me. And then I says, now, these emotions that you can imagine now, these are the exact emotions that I feel standing this close to you with you wearing that silly diaper over your face. And the only reason you're wearing that diaper over your face is because you're afraid to lose your paycheck if you don't. Or you're afraid, or your boss told you to, but I cannot believe for one moment that you believe a single word of this COVID rat poison nonsense. You know, and then I says, and he just stood there with his eyes were really big, you know, he's just looking at me. Didn't stop me from, I was just speaking very clearly. And then I says, by the way, I want to tell you why I'm in this prison. I'm in this prison because of my dog. My dog, he hasn't even so much as shit on the sidewalk, but that's why I'm in here, because he's a jumping dog, you understand? And he can jump this high. He can jump 120 high, and I put my hand to the 120 mark. And it says, and he can jump 2 meters high, and I put my hand way up there. It says that's he can jump that high. But this area here in the middle, what I need to get is a you need to build me a contraption that tells me, you know, down here that's green, oh, yellow, oh, now you're getting at the red zone, oh, now it's yellow, now it's green again. And then when I was in the red zone at the 180 mark, and I held my hand there nice and straight, and I turned around you know, in all directions kind of thing. Everybody could see me, and I held it there for quite a while. This is the dangerous zone. I don't know how to deal with that. I mean, I don't want to go to prison again for 4 years just because of my jumping dog. So the people and he was just watching this whole thing. So everybody could see it. All the prisoners could see it. And then after a while, they came out of my prison cell. They found the letters they were looking for. They left, and everybody in that prison, their interaction with me was the most respectful you could possibly imagine. I was thinking the whole time when that was going on, I says, my wife would kill me she'd die of a heart attack if she saw that, because she would say, what the hell is Alfred doing? He's never going to come out. But I'll tell you what, from there on until I got out 2 days later, everything went, they were completely respectful. And some of the wardens that were acting like little scared children with this COVID nonsense, they had also were coming around and understanding I was right. They were all telling me, Alfred, we need you out there. Don't come back in here. So I'm going to break all the thought laws I can in as short a time as possible now. And I'm still out now. I'm doing talk shows. But they, because they know that their time is up, and they also have to come and deal with the truth. And those that are first at the mark, first to come out with truth, the courage to speak with the truth, they will survive this paradigm shift that we're going to experience. And everybody, every single human being on this planet will be measured in the end by when they made that step from the matrix of lies and their first step to deal with the truth. And to make that first step to deal with the truth, it's a little bit like a little baby that's learning how to, first it just crawls around as aimlessly, is all confused. And every single Olympic runner and Olympic star on this planet started off as a confused little baby a long time ago and had to work his or her way up to gain the skills that brought them into, you know, to the pinnacle, to this top. This is what's happening now, that the sooner somebody starts, the more practice they get, the better they get. And when people are afraid to engage the system, they have to overcome that fear and just make that first step. And never mind the blunders, never mind the mistakes you make. Every time you do it, you'll get a little bit better, you'll get a little bit bolder. And if nobody's doing it in your neighborhood, then it's your chance to become the leader, then you do it. You know, that's what people have to understand. And that's where we're at. And I saw that happening in the prison. These stories like this, if I am so glad I did that 2 days before getting released, because that story I can now use to help. I cannot tell people in a hypothetical way what to do. I can use that story as an example. I did that and I'm out. Now, why, if they're going after me for this or that or you know, whatever they do, why have they not pressed new charges? Like they're going to say it's a Hitler salute. I says, I did not. Hitler wasn't there. I didn't salute anybody. I was talking about my dog. Why don't you ask your guys? I mean, they know. See, they have the whole prosecution, everything so far. They twist things around. But this twisting everything around, it's like Jan was saying before, the Jews will lie and lie and lie. They will never stop lying, never. And they will never admit that they lied, but they'll just keep lying again and lying some more. It's us to face them down, and that's it. If everybody stood up now and faced them down, we would have this over in a civilized fashion immediately. But those people who crawl and hide, they are as guilty, as culpable in this as the Jews themselves. Okay, it's a little bit, yeah. I'm going to give you one little grotesque example, and then I'll give you back the microphone. It says, if I bought a restaurant, okay, and I figured out, I can squeeze a little bit more money out of this if I, for example, in the kitchen, I pissed into the soup of the day pot, and I says, I can get two or three more helpings out that way, and that's a couple more dollars. And nobody would notice it. They wouldn't notice, and they'd say, that's fine. And I'd get ever more bold, you know. I'd say, well, that worked really well. I'm making more profits, but I want more money yet. And this is exactly how the Jews do it. They're never happy. They always have to make a little bit more, squeeze more out. And then I finally reached the point where we're at now. And you come in the restaurant with your family and friends, and I say, well, hello, have a seat, you know. And as soon as you're seated, I climb onto the table, drop my drawers, and shit on everyone's plate. And on the way down, I give you a bill, hold my hand open, and say, I'm expecting a nice little tip here. And anybody who complains, I take the fork and I run it through the shit, and I found here's a peanut that hasn't been chewed. Here, it's good, fresh food. I mean, how long am I going to live? How many customers am I going to have? Where is the value add? You know, this is what the Jews are now doing to the planet Earth. They are raping us and extracting money for it. And with this money, after raping and killing us, they expect they can buy all the empty houses because the people are dying from their COVID shots. And whatever is up for sale, they'll buy it with the stolen money, with those profits from their rat poison injections. Mm-hmm. This is a global rape and mocking us at the same time. And that elicits this biological response. And this is the biological response. Now, whether you kill me because I shit on your plate, or whether you kill me because I raped your little girl and whine about my penis, you know, I'm going to get killed with this behavior. So the people who were the Jews, these top financial Jews, are keeping their whole tribe as hostages, because they're also being held as hostages in terror to go along with it. And the Jews, the top Jews, will always go to the lower Jews and elicit their help when they need it. For example, every single Jew will be a Sayanim or a Hasbara. Now, what are Sayanim or Hasbaras? Well, Sayanim are they're like the hidden, like they're sleepers, if you will, call them that.
They're helpers,
sleepers.
Yeah.
Helpers. In fact, everything they told us about the evil Muslims after the Jews did the 9/11, about the warnings about the characteristics of these evil Muslims, was actually a description of the Jews themselves, okay? Oh, they're sleeper cells, they're this and that. And the Hasbara, and every Jew is this. Every Jew is a Sayanim and a Hasbara. They will explain things in the Jewish interest, and they will help in the Jews for the Jewish interest. But this being complicit eventually will backfire on them. And this, so they're trying to get as many of our people to be complicit in their crimes so they can better duck and hide later on. And another interesting thing, and then I'll stop talking for a second, is I've heard that some Jews are no longer circumcising their sons because they know what's coming and they want to be able to hide as goyim, you see?
That's interesting. I've never heard that.
Yeah, this is on. I've only heard that quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'll take a breather for a
minute. They've definitely captured the entire American political class. It's just embarrassing how fawning they are. And, you know, they printed so much money during the COVID hoax that a lot of that money went to the BlackRock and Vanguard and the other ones, which are themselves Jew-controlled, as well as the pharmaceuticals issuing the rat poison are Jew-owned. And they bought up all kinds of real estate in the hottest areas in the USA. So, yeah, it all plays together. And there has to be some kind of moral courage to stand against them, and you just don't see it very often. You'll see more. There's less to lose for us.
I'll tell you a very important part of this whole formula, or this whole reaction, this whole biological process we have to understand, and I haven't even really talked about it. It's the money and the role that money plays in our own behavior and our own organizing amongst ourselves. Now, if you're a carpenter and you know, we're not trading anymore, so we sell our work for this placeholder for money, a placeholder for value, which is called money. Now, if we didn't have money and we're living as a natural organism, whether a plant or an animal, all life is directed with, I call it, subtle signals. You know, very 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 subtle signals that go. I know Clausen. You know, what's it called, Ben Clausen. He wrote a lot about this, about the biological stuff. Biological components from the smallest order to the highest order, okay, from the galaxies and how they are interacting with each other, to the individual molecules in your own cells in your body, and then also the cells within your body, or the ants in an ant colony. All of these things are driven by very subtle signals that have evolved to work in a matrix that is beneficial to their own organizational or their own being. You know, whether it's your own body, every cell in your body knows that whatever it does it for your interest, not against your interest, but for your interest, or you wouldn't be alive today. And that's the same for ants, for bees, for just everything. And money in our organization, coupled with deceit, so that we don't really understand what's going on, gets us, it directs us in the wrong direction. I'll give you an example of the wrong direction, being guided in the wrong direction. When healthy people go and go to their doctor to get a lethal injection that has a time delay before it becomes lethal, so that you cannot make the connection, like even a rat, a good rat poison has to have a time delay, a trigger sort of thing, so the rat goes home and says, look at the good stuff I found, and feeds the entire family with the poison before they actually ever understand. They're supposed to be dead before they understand where the poison came from. Now, if they have injected most of our white population now, then they have already got this part of the white population in their hands. They can kill us with all kinds of ways by triggering the stuff they've injected into us. Whether it might be electromagnetic waves, or it can be a number of things. I'm not the expert on it, but there's a number of ways they can trigger this stuff to kill us. And a lot of people are dying already, like flies. So this is a misdirection. When people go there, get this injection thinking it's for their health, but it is their death, then this is an absolute and total self-destructive mechanism. And the parasite Jew is the one who has orchestrated this, holding their own tribe as complicit, and getting ever more of our people, the professionals who have been hardwired with this nonsense program, like Holocaust. I mean, how pathetic of a nonsense bad program is that? Mm-hmm. And then telling them they have to get this stuff, or they're going to die of some COVID monsters, or you know, it's beyond pathetic. Like it says, if any of our ancestors could come out of their graves and see what's happened to us, they would cry. It would break their hearts. They would cry.
Well, they would say, you know, they're not even allowing people to come back into the U.S. who don't have a vaccine shot, or like visit from Europe. Like, they refused top tennis player Novak Djokovic couldn't compete in the U.S. Open because he didn't have that clot shot. And yet at the same time, the southern border is open. I saw Ted Cruz tweeted today that 4.2 million illegals have come into the USA under Biden. They're literally showing video of just people just walking across from the river and entering the country. So we're in the It's drawing. It's the opening and the ending scene of the West, essentially, in America. They think Trump's gonna, you know, be reelected, and he may be, but he's not gonna do anything other than suck up to Jews like he did the first time, if he does get in there. And you know, they use that. They essentially use that COVID lockdown not just to kill people, but essentially the people who don't need the left, who actually work jobs. They destroyed a lot of their jobs with the lockdown and like restaurants and that type of stuff. And now they're hired 87,000 IRS basically to go after, in my opinion, the other white workers who were more online and weren't so much touched by the lockdown. So they just really have it in for any kind of white or earner who's separate from the government in any way. So, yeah, I don't know. I would assume Canada is the same way. And frankly, I'm surprised they didn't try to force you to get that in Germany and in the prison of all places.
No, I've made my position very clear that I will fight to the death. I will, if they threatened me, I'd say that the trick I would do, I'll just say it now, so they're not going to try it, is I would feign cooperation, and as the person it comes close with a needle, I would just whip my fist right into there, knock their teeth out. And so if people would just start doing that, I mean, Alexander Solzhenitsyn had written in his book about this conditions in the Soviet Union, like in the 1950s, like after after the evil Nazis were destroyed, and he was saying that's when they're really starting to round up the Russians and so forth. And he says if people would have, when they went out and during the night to pick up people in Moscow, if they would have just waited with a gun or a pitchfork or something and killed these people who were coming for them, then that would have stopped very quickly. But the Jews have learned. They learn how to keep the people subdued with pure terror, and the people actually think, oh, if I just duck for a while, then it won't get to me. But they're picking up all the people who are waking up, picking them off one by one, or 10 by 10 or whatever, and eventually this will reach every single person. And I mean, now it's all you have to have is a white skin and you are already a Nazi, so this is good. Now it's reaching everybody, and like this, the pain is now reaching everybody. So it's time for everybody to start to, get their head out of their ass and start to stand up to what's happening to us, because either we do something or we die. This is the do or die moment in our history. And this is everything that ever was, everything that is, and everything that can be is dependent on our now doing the right thing. And many of our ancestors, going back hundreds or even thousands of years, because this is an age-old problem, would have done anything to be able to be here now today to deal with this problem that they might not have been able to. And if we are too feeble, too weak to deal with this parasitic, lethal problem, then we will become extinct. It's that simple. This is these are laws of nature that are playing out here. And also think of this, that any of their laws, they are nothing but blots of toner on paper, totally irrelevant. They are meaningless. They are nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. They never observe themselves either. It's just the words are there to fool the goyim. In the beginning, that's what Klassen said, I think, in the beginning was the lie, his translation of the opening verse of the Jewish Bible. But
they just lie.
Yeah, I think one thing I've really been pressing the last few years is going after Christianity, because I see that as the competing explanation for Jews, and particularly the Catholic, which is the oldest version of it. And they insist upon defining Jews as rejectors of Jesus and say, well, all the bad stuff about it, that's where it comes from. And then you say, well, but you can find them acting the same exact way before Jesus was ever a gleam in his own eye, which I mean, like to say, not Christianity, but they, I don't care what you call them. You can't play word games when you've had the same people who are notoriously inbred, niece, uncle, first cousin marriages, notoriously inbred. You can't tell me that's not a a racial trait. And the predominant Catholic in America has even admitted, if you don't accept the Catholic sociocultural black slate, that's my term, explanation for why Jews are the way they are, the only thing left is biology. And biology is exactly how to look at Jews, in my opinion. Now, the culture, as you're talking about, does build on it. But they've had this in place for a long, long time. And it doesn't matter if the Talmud or whatever was only finally congealed 500 years actually after Christianity. Jews produce rabbis and Jews produce Talmuds. Talmuds don't produce them. They were behaving like that long before those books ever existed. So you can't tell me that's not a racial, biological trait. And then when you go and you start inspecting, well, what is Christianity actually? And you find what they say about it. They admit, yeah, it was it may have begun among – it may have an honest, organic origin among Jews. But what Marcus Eli Ravage says is they recognized it was starting to destroy their racial characteristics. So they stamped it out, and then they realized, wait a minute, we could repackage this and use this against Rome to destroy Rome. And as he also says, the one honest historian admitted it. That's what destroyed Rome was Gibbon. And this raceless, classless, universalist, race doesn't matter. Well, that leaves you open to being preyed on by people who think race does matter, and they're going to protect their own, and they're going to live off us until we dry up and blow away, as Netanyahu said about the United States. And we have to understand the way to look at Jews is as something that's a biological matter. And I think that's what the original Nazis, the National Socialists, understood, because they were all most of their leadership was Catholic by background. And they understood that this doesn't properly explain or give you any means of actually fighting back against Jews. You have to see Jews for what they actually are. And that's what the transfer and understanding of Jews from being a religious problem to a racial problem was. That's what the original term anti-Semite, which was not created by a Jew apparently, but is now used by them. That's what it was meant to convey, that our objection to them is not religious. It's a racial. This is an animal that acts in this certain way that will destroy our society if we don't rise and defend ourselves against it. And all the 20th century, they started understanding that. They were starting to build on it and use biology to strengthen themselves to fight against Jews, and then the Jews nipped that out. They created the Federal Reserve, took over the money, and took over the media and the colleges. And now in American universities, even in medical schools, there was an article on this the other day, they're using absolute woke you have to agree, basically a racial disloyalty oath if you want to be employed by any American college. What are you going to do to help advance blacks and browns and everyone who's not white? You basically have to do that to be almost a janitor at like a medical school nowadays. So it's complete neo-communization, which is just a Judaization of American society. And of course, Europe's farther gone, I suppose, than America's are.
Well, you know, the code of conduct on which Judaism is based is as old as it goes back to the origins of money itself, and the role that money plays, and the fact that if you can if you have money, you claim entitlement to real value, whether you have ever created or contributed to real value or not. And this whole and that's a problem, and that's why the Jews, even like Rothschild, he said that give me the control of the money in a country, and I don't care who writes the laws, because that's the basis of this, is that it's an entitlement to value which is independent of whether you have created it or not. And when National Socialism
they're printing it. You understand when you're in prison, they printed something like, what is it, like 40% of the dollars that ever existed were printed like in 2020. They threw the people $1,500, but they threw a hell of a lot more to their billionaire friends who own 200 million apartments, as Max Kaiser would always say, in New York City. So they get stronger and stronger, and they're destroying even the ability to earn a livelihood of the whites who voted for Trump, say.
But let me project that forward now, what you're saying, because it's absolutely right. They are going into printing money, but this is then the hyperinflation, and money itself will cease to have any value whatsoever. So this is, whether we like what's coming or not, doesn't have any effect on whether it's coming or not. It's the same as if you like swimming or not, is not going to stop the ship from sinking. This, we are going now into a phase where money will become absolutely meaningless. It's becoming increasingly meaningless now. It's already meaningless for us now. If to get money, we have to get a death shot. I mean, then you cannot do anything with the money after you're dead. So this money is already now less than worthless. It is actually to be able to earn money, so to as they call it, earn money, you have to actually volunteer to get a death shot. Well, no rat is that stupid. I mean, rats will, no matter how hungry they are, they will make a detour around the baited rat poison because they have this, their will to survive is stronger than their hunger. But for the way the Jews have confused us, they have destroyed our will to survive. We think that all the other races cannot believe that the white race is behaving like little children. Yeah, because little children don't understand what life is all about and think life is about playing and having fun.
Trained. I like to put it in Sunday school and in Monday school. They're both trained that race doesn't matter. And I maintain that Christianity is the reason whites will not defend themselves. Now, Jews are the actual problem, but Christianity... Yes. Disables them. They're out there helping. Literally in my town or any town you go into, they are all taking money from the Jews at the State Department and the federal government who are filtering in all these literal Africans into these towns. They're taking money to help them. That's just a modern day example. But on day one, it was universalist, anti-ancestor, anti-social class, just brotherhood of people who, the body of Jesus, who believe in the body of Jesus, Team Jesus. That's how one woman put it, you know, and that's how they think of it. Well, they don't value race.
No, that's an artificial, Christian religion. The Vatican is a pure Jewish construct. It's the tool that the Jews use. I mean, the Jew will, we know how they function. And when a so-called good Christian will say, oh yeah, hit me on my left cheek and I'll show you my right cheek. I mean, treat your enemies as your best friends and all this, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a operating system they've installed in our behavior. It's like marinating the steak you want to eat. You know that they've marinated us for destroying.
Well,
us.
It's just so irritating because they're constantly attacking whites, and it's obvious they're attacking whites. And these people will try to pretend that, like, okay, in the U.S. the last couple of years, it was critical race theory, which is more leftist, just another reskinning, rebranding of leftist, anti-white, woke ideology, whatever name you want to call it, being filtered down into the public schools. And so it's literally overtly an attack on white people, but the ostensible opposition, the right-wing conservative Christian Republicans, will always say, oh no, that's not the way to defend. They always defend it from an individual point of view, which again comes from Christianity, which leads into civic nationalism, saying that race has nothing to do with the nation. They can't ever be intellectually honest and have the moral courage to stand up and say, look, we're under attack as whites. White is something valuable. We must see who we are, accept who we are, value who we are, and defend ourselves for what we are. We need our own racially independent sovereign nation. That Absolutely. It's so simple. And they're all the commentators and all the representatives are completely bought out. They're all Christian cucks to a one on the right. They're utterly useless. And you see why Hitler had nothing to do with it. He just didn't. They're there basically to confuse things. Yes.
Alex, I totally agree with you. I've seen it here in South Africa. The Christianity weakens people to such a degree. And another thing that we've got in Africa that you guys might not be fully aware of is, believe it or not, up until modern times and even now, there are still white Christian missionaries who go into Africa, and they go and they teach the blacks. They go and they give them Bibles. They teach them how to read and write. They give them medicines. They save their lives. They do all kinds of things for blacks. They give them food. You won't believe how many white Christians go into the darkest Africa to go and save these worthless people who would otherwise die. And I can't tell you, I did a show with J.B. Campbell, who's an American who fought in Rhodesia. And J.B. Campbell and I spoke a bit about this. And he told a story where, when he was in Rhodesia, where there were American Christian missionaries. You had missionaries from all over, and you even have modern South Africans, not that many, but you do have modern South Africans who still go into Africa to do missionary work for God.
Yeah.
Anyway, J.B. Campbell went to some Americans and he said to them, listen, I've been sent by the army. You guys are assisting the terrorists, the communist terrorists who are fighting the whites. You are assisting them. You must stop doing that. We've caught them and we've got proof that they dealt with you. And you must beware, they will also kill you. And this American woman said, no, they're never going to kill us because they've learned to love us. And J.B. Campbell said that 6 months later, that same woman and her husband were bayoneted to death by those communist terrorists. And I've got photographs of white children who were killed, white children who were killed by those communist terrorists. And, you know, these Christians, Alex, a part of it is this subservience to God. It's this whole thing that I'm not totally in control, but God is always in control and he's got greater wisdom. And, you know, God operates.
I know how it is. Believe me,
secret ways. You know, all that stuff. These people are so weak that they can't stand up for themselves. And you're quite right. It comes down.
They've centered the Jews. The Bible's all about Jews. And even if you say, well, they rejected Jesus, but they still say there are elder brothers in Christ, and they were the ones who, you know, God originally picked. You know, even if they dropped the ball along the way. So it's utterly insane that you would make this people that has nothing to do with Europeans, the center of your entire mind and culture. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, here we are as a civilization, and we don't worship our own gods, you know, Thor and Odin, and our own traditions. We've got our own traditions. And, you know, when I was doing the Great Jewish Mosque, the guy who wrote the Great Jewish Mosque said that Jews as a recognizable people have only been, their history only goes back like 2,800 years ago. Go and look at European history. We've been around for 45,000 years. You know, our ancestors have been around for ages and ages, and we've got all the proofs that they existed. We're still digging stuff out of the ground. And, you know, here we're worshiping this bunch of scum that we ran into in the Middle East. And the Romans and the Greeks said that Jews are the scum of Egypt, of the Egyptian civilization, the garbage. They have managed this weak set of garbage, obviously saw the power of our race, and they saw that there are things that we do, like we had money and economics, all kinds of order and civilization that they knew nothing about. And they obviously then started sneaking their way into our civilization, and they've become a permanent parasite. They're a permanent, you know, it's like getting cancer.
They know how to manipulate us. They know our racial profile, and they see where our some of our strong points, like being altruistic, can be turned against us, and that's what they've done.
Yes, agreed. Totally. And Alfred...
Go ahead.
Final point. When you were talking about money, that whole topic of money and everything relating to money, I'm totally with you on that, because that's the other thing that I was looking into. I did some videos while you were in jail where I discussed Hitler's economics and National Socialist economics. Alfred, your people invented the greatest economic and political way of life of anybody who's ever lived, and it works. It works. It's the greatest system ever invented. It's based on reality, and it doesn't need, and it can't be controlled and owned by Jews and others. And that system was insanely successful. I need to go and find some charts again that I had. I had charts of the GDP of the Third Reich versus the GDP of the United States of America. at a point in World War II, the GDP of the Third Reich was almost equal to that of the United States of America. It's the greatest system ever invented. And of course, that's why it had to be destroyed. Well,
yeah, you know, and even just to get out of under debt, I think Hitler probably would have used Bitcoin or what one thing that Alfred may not have seen being in prison so much is the rise of cryptocurrency. And even though the markets are down right now, this idea of money that you can't inflate, ultimate hard money, is basically these Aryans are trying to build, and they are mostly Aryans with a sprinkling of Asians, trying to build a new honest money world. Now, granted, they're trying to do it without race, as the good libertarians they are, and that is wrong, but still, they are contrasted with the central banking. So it's like a new way of getting around, like what Jan's talking about, to get out of the international Jew-controlled financial system that's killing everybody. So that's another aspect to all this. But I wanted to say to people listening, the other day I went and I searched Orania, which is the small whites-only town in South Africa, and one of the longest reports was by some British leftist. And of course, all they can end up doing, if you aren't familiar with it, it's a couple thousand people, it's or maybe more. It's growing as fast as it can. But the one line, and they always, all they can do, because everything there is healthy and positive, there's no violence. Whites have gotten rid of, they've learned the lesson for once. For once, whites learn something. They don't allow any black labor there. They do all the jobs themselves. She said the big takeaway, there was new construction on almost every street. Okay, so whites should be flourishing more than any other time in history right now. All these problems we have are external. They are externally induced. And if we see things correctly and stand up and correct them, we will flourish like never before in history. There's the only reason we aren't is that all of our nations have been taken over by Jews controlling the money, and through control of the money, controlling everything else and buying all the weak people, buying all the politicians, buying all the media, and preaching these horrible, terrible, destructive doctrines that sucker in our people, even to the extent where now in the last couple of years in the U.S., you've got little kids, say they're a little girl who thinks they're a boy because they've been encouraged to by often their own parents, believe it or not, but especially by the school, are able to make the decision as a very young person to get their breast chopped off and to get this sterile making, what is it, puberty blockers that sterilize them. It's the most insane thing. You would never even believe it was possible that people would go for it, and they are. But my point is whites should be flourishing, and they're exhibiting all kinds of disturbed, aberrant behavior because they're not ever allowed to know the truth, or let alone have any kind of functional, cohesive head or organization they can fit into to work for a collective better tomorrow. And it really is coming to a crux, as Alfred has been saying.
This is leading to a total systemic collapse right now. Okay, because these people who are confused about their gender are in no position whatsoever to do anything really productive or anything of value. And going back to Jan and his appraising of the National Socialist system, see, National Socialism is based on the blueprint of life itself. Every single organism in this world, every single cell and every organism that we know runs on a National Socialist system. So even the individual cells in our enemies, the Antifa and the Jews, even the cells in their body run are little Nazis. They're all little Nazis. And if you interfere with these natural processes, then that's death. That's the poison. That's like so it's kind of ironic that these people who have so destroyed our organizational organizational structures to the point where they are collapsing are at the same time now actually injecting us as animals, as human beings, with rat poison to kill us. So it's really, this is a full frontal assault on us as a race. And when someone is intending to kill you, then you had better kill him first if you do not want to die. That is the statement we need to make. And no matter what words they throw at you, they are blots of toner on paper of no relevance. And, you know, I notice myself now in the recent, it's just increasing by the month, by the day now, is my total, aversion. I just cannot stand when I see people feigning the level of ignorance that they cannot possibly be anymore, to pretend not to understand. Like, this is so obvious now. It's like if you went in the restaurant and pretended not to understand that I just shit on your plate and you actually eat it up and then you actually pay the bill and give me a tip. You understand? Like, this is a level of, if a little tiny girl might not understand that she's being raped, she only knows it's traumatizing, it hurts like hell. But if her brothers and her dad don't understand, then they are as bad as the rapist. Now, if we, anybody claiming to be an adult doesn't understand this anymore, I cannot take these people seriously anymore. And I tell them, I just say, I cannot. I won't even talk to them anymore. I will only talk about them. Time for talk is basically over. This is now time to deal, time for action. This is time for action. Time for talk is over. And if people have missed the boat, they can play catch up, but it's going to, the price that they have to pay to catch up and sit at our table gets higher every single day. And I'll tell you, people everywhere now, I encounter people everywhere that I've never met before who are absolutely seem to be in the know of everything. Like, this is unprecedented. In the old days, you'd be happy to find someone who agreed with you on one of these.
And that's in Germany, where it's as strong censorship as probably anywhere in the world, I would think.
Yeah, it's very extremely strong. Well, in the States, it's no better now. I mean, I was just looking for the Daily Stormer before, and once again, it's gone. You know, Andrew Anglin's wonderful paper there. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's suddenly it's gone again. You know, Scheiße, how come it's gone again? Well, because the Jews are all in a panic.
In the last 4 years, a lot of them, I know he writes for Unz.com. Now, Unz himself is a Jew, but somehow he's collected, UNZ.com has collected most of the Anglin, Greg Johnson, and a bunch of the others are now writing for him. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but you know, like this total censorship all the time. But you know, now in how you can see how people are going to react to this. Is like the more they censor the internet, the less important the internet will be as we find alternate routes to, for example, USB sticks. Now you can get little storage devices where you can put a very valuable, well-structured database on it of information, and you don't need the internet so much anymore. If it's only going to be censorship and lies, it just becomes irrelevant. So, you know, the Jews are basically censoring themselves off of this planet. Basically, they're a done deal. They're going to be hunted down and killed in a short order. That's because of their bad behavior. I mean, this is the biological response that everybody.
They certainly deserve it. I mean, everything came out. Even the funny thing is, even the people who suck up to them, like Trump, I mean, they've now proven, you know, that FBI sat on all kinds of information that would help Trump. And then they ran out to all the major social media like Twitter and Facebook in particular and got them to censor anybody who was telling the truth about it. And the same with the rat poison shots. They go out there and they tell them, well, you're only allowed to publish this information, and anything else is misinformation, is the term they started using. And then they deplatformed all the honest doctors, the minority, the Malones, and the Mercola is the main one that I've followed. And you know, he stayed consistent. And then the real telling thing was when doctors said, hey, treating this, whatever this is, with ivermectin actually works, and they deplatformed everyone talking about that. So now I've told people from day one, I mean, look, you know, if there is a new disease, and I fully believe they're working on, you know, they're working on gain of function in their labs over in Ukraine. Yeah, the Jews try to do biological terrorism, and they're spending our white tax dollars developing these weapons in all these labs around Russia. Absolutely, I believe that. But, you know, whatever COVID was, it was killing old and already very sick people, and it's nothing. You don't have to worry about other people breathing on you. But then they absolutely crazy to get that you're going to trust the government that lies about everything else. You're going to trust what they put in a syringe and tell you to take. No way. And you know, it has killed loads of people. In fact, it can't even really be calculated because they're not honest about any statistics in the USA. The second you trust them, you're burned. Like, I was pissed off. I'm like, you know what? I always thought, okay, the CDC is a bunch of clowns, which I knew from earlier life work. I used to be a journalist reporting on healthcare, but they're not going to be lying about, like, flu and cold statistics. Well, bullshit, they will too. So all of a sudden the flu, oh, there's no more flu. There's no flu in 2020 because they had to hype up the numbers for this new disease. It's just beyond ridiculous.
You know, Alex, what I also only learned quite recently is that the so-called Spanish flu back in the what we call First World War was also massive death through vaccination. They had, this isn't the first time around that they're doing this sort of thing. Back then it was too. They have pictures from that era, pictures of people holding up a sign saying vaccinate or go to prison and stuff like that. So this is a rerun of something they've already done. And then it was the bad sanitary conditions and the vaccinations that exacted that death toll, that massive death toll out of 20 million people or something. This is a repeat of that. It's a repeat.
Well, what I've said is it's now calls into question every other vaccine.
Absolutely. Other vaccine. Yeah.
You know, I never thought about it too much. It's kind of intricate, but you know, I've got a health problem that I now believe was caused by probably, you know, either cumulative or taking some kind of vaccine along the line, because they feed so many more vaccines and they're almost all involuntary, like for little kids. Have you ever seen those charts showing how many involuntary vaccines little kids get? Well, then all of a sudden we've got all this autism and we've got all these autoimmune, or two things that to me are pretty clearly related to this excessive vaccination. And then after a point you come to, is the entire concept of vaccine, and I don't know the answer to this. I've seen people argue both ways. Is the whole concept of virus and vaccine inherently invalid? I don't know. I always thought there was some validity to some of them, but
Alex, the more I look into that, the more I have to say you're spot on. That the entire this whole virus thing is, in all probability, just a huge lie, and every single vaccine is probably also, you know, if one had ever worked, maybe one did. I doubt it. The whole concept is bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, see, the thing is, okay, if you're going to say a vaccine, to me, that was always a little bit of some existing disease to, you know, trigger body to recognize it and react against it. That's not what this COVID was. This was spike protein manufacturing in your blood. They completely lied that it would just stay in your arm, and it goes, in fact, to all parts of your body, and it stays for who knows how long, and it keeps working, and it compromises your immune system. But okay, something like measles, the first thing that I've ever read about virus stuff is you got to absolutely identify the virus. And I still don't think they've ever done that. And then when you know that Fauci was the guy who was running AZT and all this other bullshit back with AIDS, and you know Duesberg and that whole hypothesis was, it's very easy to blame it on like some HIV virus or something. A virus can be a real thing. But if it's just a syndrome, it's like, okay, these fags are doing this kind of behavior and it's killing their immune system and they're dying from it. Because remember, we only liberalized the rules on fags back in the early 70s. And then early 80s, they start dying of this new disease. So then they called it AIDS. They originally called it GRIDS, gay-related, saying it's behavior-related. And now it's monkeypox. But the point is, they can very easily just say, oh, it's this, and how did they test for HIV? They found, like, you know, supposedly they found some antibodies to it or something. They can't actually show you the real thing. So right there, and Fauci led all that and was promoting AZT. So he's always been the kind of the front guy for these pill companies. AZT killed loads and loads of people. And the smart ones finally figured out, like, I better not take that or I'm going to die. Well, it's the exact same thing. You talk about repetition. It's the same repetition here with this, these so-called COVID vaccines that are rushed out are tested on mice and had terrible problems with the mice. And now they're particularly messing up like pregnant women and the rest of it. And, you know, it, as you said, it's made them, it's the most profitable thing ever. Like no other drug would ever have been approved that had the results that thing had in the year or so they were testing it. So, you know, they can very easily just say, oh, this is a new virus and But it's, as far as, in my opinion, to my satisfaction, they have never proved there really is a new virus there. The cold has always killed people who are old and weak or super sick from other things. So it's basically just word games to a large extent.
For me, every single word, whether it's the testing or whether it's the COVID or corona, every single word is a lie. I'm sure you know that, you know, the corona is the 666, the six letters, and they add up to 66. And COVID is Certificate of Vaccination ID. And 19 is AI, artificial intelligence. I mean, they do this openly. They really do shit on our plate before our eyes and expect us to eat it. And that's why I say that people who actually believe that, because they've been so indoctrinated, they will have themselves to thank for their miserable rest of life they've got.
Where are all these people? These people in the middle of life, 20 to 40 to 20 to 50 or so, are dying, or just their heart stops and fall over. I mean, what do you want? They're attributing it in the USA. They're attributing it to every. You'll turn on the radio. Oh, snow shoveling can cause a heart attack, just these.
All of a sudden,
any stupid little thing. All these normal activities suddenly are responsible for all these heart problems.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, little kids can get myocarditis and have heart attack. Oh, okay.
So that's not
due to the vaccine.
This is the mocking of this is like the raper of your daughter saying, oh no, she's just whining because she's just got a sore crotch, so what? It's got nothing to do with raping. No, that's blah 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 blah. This is mocking us. I mean, this is making an ass of us, and that normally should elicit a certain reaction, especially from white men and women. I say, come on, you guys. I cannot look at someone who thinks they're a man or a woman and they wear a diaper over their face and I say, stick your finger up your ass to get the corona snakes because they like to sneak up the back door. I mean, it is so pathetic. Yeah.
No, I agree, but they seem to have gotten rid of the manliness in the American population to a large extent. Now, there are a lot of people who are disgusted and believe it, and they know that it's absurd, but they pulled that off for a couple of years. I don't know what they're going to try this year. Supposedly, they want to try to make this fake vaccine an annual shot, like they did with the flu shot.
Oh, boy. Alex, I got some stories of my own about the vaccine.
Well, tell us, because I know South Africa, the people involved in some of that.
Yeah, Alex, here in South Africa, the people who really pushed the vaccine, it's going to shock you. It was the businesses. The white Jewish businesses were the bastards that pushed the vaccine more than the government. The government wanted to push it, but there was so much sort of pushback against it, and they were totally useless. they were so useless. They created, the government set up a thing. They were going to vaccinate like all the population, like the blacks, but they're like more than 50 million people. So Alex, they were vaccinating at such a slow pace. I think I calculated that it would take them something like 22 years to vaccinate all the South Africans. So if you left the government to vaccinate, it would never have worked. But the bastards who did push it were the corporate big business. Those big businesses that I used to work for, banking, mining, all the big chain stores, etc. They pushed it, and my nephew and my niece both got vaccinated because they were told they would lose their jobs. They'd be fired immediately if they don't get vaccinated. So they're so desperate for their work that they took the vaccines. They didn't even tell me. I actually only found out the other day. But these businesses, Alex, these corporate things are evil garbage. And I saw when I was working in the corporate world, Alex, I'm telling you, sexual perversion and stuff like that. I'm telling you, there's a whole mechanism for rising up in the system, Alex. I saw it especially in the bank.
No, it's just the fusion of the state and the bureaucracy, like, you know, it really is in this sense, almost fascism is justified in that. In the U.S., the top Fortune 500 have now been completely taken over by the same mentality. There used to be a little bit of difference, but now, yeah, they can, together with the government, they can essentially drive small business. You know, the base of Trump's support or the basically white people who work for a living, they can drive them out of business. And
yes,
that's what
yes,
they've been doing.
Yes. Alex, if I may add one other thing. In South Africa, over the years, as we've gone through various cycles of hardship and collapse, I have noticed time and time again, without fail, whenever we go into a worse economic situation, the small businesses are wiped out. They wipe them out. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, probably 100,000 businesses have been destroyed over time. I've seen it again and again.
This has already happened, but now look what's going to happen in Europe as the heating bills. We're already seeing this all over Twitter. People are showing like last month's heating bill versus the new, since they're not going to represent their politicians are all bought and owned by the Jews. So they're not going to allow them to do the normal gas business with Russia. So all their costs are going up like sixfold. So this is going to be a real breaking point this winter. If these people don't rise up, they're going to be completely enslaved in Europe. They're getting liquid natural gas trucked in or shipped in from the USA instead of just getting the normal supply from Russia like they should be. It's absolutely insane.
The destruction of the small and medium businesses, this is what they did for the Holodomor in the Ukraine exactly 90 years ago, is they wiped out all the independent small farmers. Because they wanted everybody working as a tiny little cog in a huge wheel in a big communist kind of entity, collective farm, and that is totally contrary to our nature. And all these people who are a little bit smarter, all these independent businessmen and so forth, they are not just going silently in the night and disappearing. They're all waking up and they're starting to figure things out.
Well,
and this is the uprising.
Alfred,
this is coming. Yeah,
I hope so. Even this is not even like small business and Mittelstand or whatever they call it. But like even some of the very biggest steel producers, like we can't operate at the margin when our electricity bill goes up six times. So they're all shutting down. And this is when, you know, they're going to have a cold winter. And boy, if that doesn't produce revolution, I don't know what would.
Well, apart from
the racial stuff,
it is. It will produce a revolution, and it is at that point in time where people can decide with whom they want to fight and work together, whether they want to go and into the Negro slums and have those are your new friends, or if they want to work with the white people. This is the deciding moment.
And they also, you've seen, I don't know how much they report in Germany, like over here, they pretty much hush it up, but I see some on Twitter. Now, they go into part of the World Economic Forum's plan for a global reset is like, they basically want to deindustrialize and kill and depopulate a lot of the world. And the deindustrialization we just talked about, but a lot of it is cutting back, telling people to eat insects, and then going in and saying, oh, you have too much fertilizer, halting the fertilizer delivery so people can't farm, taking 30% of the land and turning it over essentially to African or whatever invaders and stopping farmers. And that's led to a big revolt. Do you hear much about that in Germany from next door Holland?
In Denmark, no, in Holland. Yeah, Holland was really, really severe. And I mean, this is now knocking on everyone's door. So people have got to overcome their fear of naming the perpetrators and naming the problem, because at the end of the day, we will have to go after the actual problem, and that is people running on a bad operating system. This Judaism is an operating system that outsources part of the thinking, just like the Christian Vatican is also an operating system that outsources people's own thinking. Now, I don't want to criticize all Christians, because there are some very, very excellent Christian pastors out there who are very close to our root DNA and their way of thinking, and also understand the old, where the original Christianity was a lot closer to our pre-Christian beliefs and way of thinking. and close to our root DNA. But the stuff in the Vatican now, I mean, when you see the Pope washing the feet of some, you know, some nigger that's standing in front of him, on, please, you know, this is so disgusting, so pathetic, so vile, so evil. And these are just – the fact that just recently I saw a video of a guy who was a Jesuit in the Vatican, and he had told very nicely how – explained how this the Vatican was actually the chief splitter of people, like it, how it's the source of all the splitting the people apart. And this guy was killed a day after he held that speech, that talk. I don't know his name right now, but I saw it. Some people showed me that, and they said he was killed the day after. He was only a young guy, maybe 35 or 40 years old, a very, very good speaker. He was Italian. And he explained the root evil of the Vatican and how far back that goes. And yeah, he paid for that with his life. So you can see what kind of an honorable organization that is.
Well, to me, it's their doctrines. Their doctrines on race is race doesn't matter. And they will mock it as it's just a matter of ear conformation. And then they'll go, you Germans were just barbarians until we showed up in the 700s, and it took us 1,000 years to civilize you. So you shouldn't be making any fun of blacks. A black can become a Polish just as, or it can become a German just as easily. Is it all a matter of culture? No, they literally say that. They literally say that. They believe it's all a matter of culture, and takes them 1,000 years, so I guess they're only halfway through. You're like, well, whites achieved civilization before Christianity ever existed in Greece and Rome. There's a good argument that Christianity destroyed Rome. You haven't been able to build anything, so you see, they're forced into a position, and this has been my main interest the last several years. They are forced into a position where, A, they will just overtly try to deny that race exists. They very often will do that. If you don't buy that, they'll try to say, well, it exists, but it doesn't really matter much. And you're guilty because you're calling yourself white. So you deserve whatever the Jews hand out to you. You need to run into a Christian church and you'll be safe. You know, so the identity of Christianity and cucking is, to me, 100%. But I forget what I was going to say.
But in my opinion, this whole breakdown of civilization, which we are headed to now with the demise of the money that we have so worshiping, we're worshiping money and doing anything for money, including getting a rat poison injection for money. And when the money is not worth anything, that's the time when we'll be stuck there with whoever is in your neighborhood, with whoever, you know. Yeah. And I tell you, some of our big cities are going to be just stench. There's going to be the stench of decomposition, of rotting. When millions of people will be dying in their apartments
it's insane. I mean, I was going to say, we had in the last like 48 hours or the last week, you know, a black abducts like a woman's, she's like a mother of a couple kids, and he killed her. And he knew her family was extremely rich. There's some rich Memphis family. And you got another Memphis black drives around shooting people, live streaming it on Facebook. He killed like 4 people. That's just with one city, one day. And they're letting the black had just basically been, he already had a tag of like attempted murder on him. So they let him run around doing this. It's just utter complete top down socially engineered breakdown in the final attempt to destroy whites, essentially.
And was this black guy shooting whites, or who was he shooting?
I'm not sure who he shot. I think some were white. Maybe one was black, but I could be totally wrong about that. He definitely, because I remember someone posted, he definitely had racial aggrievement. He didn't like whites and was whining about how persecuted he was. And this is a guy with a whole bunch of crimes behind him, and he's let out. He actually had racial privilege. All these blacks have, when they do stuff like that, they all have a long record behind them. If you're white, you wouldn't see the light of day if you did that. Let alone having a political motive.
See, I think that there'll be a lot of these other dark-skinned people killing whites before the whites finally do actually understand what's going on, and then there will be this. There'll be a fantastic reaction coming at that point then, because this is, you know, it's like if a lion. If some monkey is poking a lion, he's got to get to know the lion once the lion's awake. And once we wake up, I mean, it's like Jan was saying the other day. that there's a beast in every one of us, and this, once this beast is awoken because of this, we cannot stand this raping and mocking us for after being raped. This is going to elicit a certain reaction, and the white people are generally very patient and very very we have a long fuse, but once we do reach the end of the fuse and our patience runs out, then we'll know what to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope that's true. It should be. This has been going on for a long time. Okay, so 22-hour rampage. Ezekiel Kelly shot and killed 4 people and injured 3 more after being released early. So he was literally like just let out of prison, where he was released early from a 3-year assault sentence. And I know that was like attempted murder is what he did. I'm trying to see. I'd only seen him. I hadn't seen a picture. Okay. I'm pretty sure at least one of the people he shot was. Yeah, okay. Let's see. At least one white guy he shot. He shot one black. I think he shot his friend, and then he shot a couple whites, something like that. But this just goes on every
Some
every,
of these blacks, almost, they score own goals as well.
they're constantly killing each other, but they do a lot of killing of whites. And the point is, he destroyed a white family. Another one destroyed a white family earlier in the week, just because he was trying to. He cut her up and threw her in a dumpster, and this just goes on all the time, essentially. And nothing's ever. It's never put in the proper racial context. It's always. They always are random killings when blacks kill whites. You're completely, like Jan said, you're completely deprived of context. They won't show you photos. They remove the race. They always go to some neutral euphemism instead of blacks if they're underage. They're always learners. It was a ridiculous one I saw the other day. I saw some video on Twitter yesterday of black school kids rioting somewhere, and the writer called them learners. It literally looked like a prison riot. They're learners, they're students, they're youth, they're teens, anything, they're consumers, anything but blacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the politicians, all the Jew-bought politicians will just call them Democrats. This is what happens in Democrat-run cities. You know, it just the most complete moral cowardice at every turn in America is the absolute rule.
We have to get to the point, you know, the Germans have to get to the point where they are no longer ashamed of National Socialism and Hitler and their history. And in South Africa, we have to get over the issue of apartheid.
Absolutely. In
South Africa, you know, the whole issue of apartheid, that hangs over everybody's heads. Until we can talk about race and our situation openly, we are not free. We're nowhere close to free. And it's ridiculous that in Germany it is illegal to do a Nazi salute in a country that invented these thoughts, etc. It is some, you know, apartheid was invented in South Africa. It's a South African invention. National Socialism is a German invention. Fascism is an Italian invention. Why should these things be shut up in our countries? There's only one common denominator, Jews,
and it's the Jews. The Jews have these harsh penalties to make the zombies think, oh, they have to have harsh laws against that. Otherwise, there's going to be another Holocaust, you know, because they believe this utter bullshit nonsense of 6 million gassed Jews. You know, I mean, this is like telling. Oh, I tell you what, this is how I look at this now. I say there was a time when there was a criminal syndicate, a crime syndicate on planet Earth, and they extracted huge sums of money out of people who denied the fact that the Earth is the center of the universe. But of course, how could they know that the Earth is not the center of the universe when now we know it's the Holocaust? The Holocaust is the center of the universe. You see, this is so bizarre, so pathetic, so insanely infantile, these mandatory, you got to believe in the Holocaust or you go to jail, blah, blah, blah. Come on, please, you guys. Any grown person who doesn't stand up now openly and says, you know, fuck you with your stupid Holocaust, you know, stick it up with your corona needle up your ass or someplace. I mean, they're making an ass of us, mocking us, raping us, mocking us. And it's time to stand up to it. And this is, it's not a game anymore. This is about life and death. I mean, I just cannot take anybody
seriously.
This
is the conditions they make. Yeah, this black guy just, he's live streams on Facebook. He just, this shit real, no? And he, you know, he's got his gun. He just walks into like a 7-Eleven and just the first guy he sees, he just shoots him twice in the chest, white guy. And then he went on to kill three or four more. And this is the conditions Jews created. That's the important thing.
Yeah,
everything in America is just, you're absolutely, they're mind-binding us to prevent us from seeing any patterns or acknowledging anything. Yeah. Even the term racism
You're supposed to be guilty about slavery, about the Holocaust, about apartheid. Oh, be guilty, crawl, and give me your money, and let the scum from the third world, you know, come, the sewage from the third world come and overtake your civilization. This is what's happening. And if we truly are too stupid to stand up to that, then we deserve to go extinct. It's like the bird that grins stupid and chirps instead of flying when the cat comes. He gets turned into cat shit, like, real fast. And if we don't, you know, if we roll up our sleeve to get the next Jew shot instead of fighting back and punching the doctor's teeth out. I mean, it's our choice. Yeah. We have a brain. We have a fist. Use it. It's God-given. Yeah. You know, use it.
No, we have been telling people from day one not to get the shot. You're freaking crazy. And it's actually has revealed how a lot of people who say the same words as we do, when it comes to it, they go along. And I was honestly surprised in a couple cases.
Yeah.
Well, do you understand this shit is not a joke? That this shit, if you're lucky, you'll get something that's merely saline, because apparently a lot of the lots were not real and they're testing this shit out. But I'm like, this is not a joke, man. This is messing up people's lives, even the ones it doesn't kill. And you don't know what it's going to bring you down the line. The fact you haven't had a reaction yet doesn't prove anything.
It's like if you take a big inhale of asbestos, you know, like asbestos. Okay, you're gonna feel fine for a while, but then you're gonna die of cancer for sure in the next few years. That's asbestos, you know, like all the people that work in those asbestos places. That's why they banned it. So now they're injecting people. The people who make sure their kids put on a helmet when they ride their bicycle, and then they get an injection of this crap. I mean, come on, you know, like use your, if you want your kids to survive, you're gonna punch the doctor's teeth out instead of letting kids.
It almost seems to be biological that these people cannot resist something that comes from authority. They just can't to. You're like, look, it doesn't matter how much you reason with them. They can't overcome that innate biological baitfish impulse to turn with the crowd.
But this is how the Jew has always done it. The Jew does not govern the people. The Jew governs the governments. You see, that's how the Jew has always done it, ever since the thing called money. It goes back 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years.
Well, they say in the protocols, like, that's the first step, and that's usually all that's needed, is just to bribe, you know, you buy these people, and they go out, you buy the preachers, then you get the flock, you buy the politicians, and you get most of the parties. They're the major donors to both parties. They control the central bank. Yeah. there you go. That's all it takes, really. And then we have to have the minority of independent minds to rise up and provide an alternate or a white head. That's the whole point of this podcast. There's got to be an alternative white head to go in the white body, say, no, you're going the wrong way. This is the way you want to go. Listen to us. Do what we're telling you. Everything we say is true and verifiable. Go out and look it up yourself if you don't think so, and you'll find we're right. And then somehow that has to overcome, you know, the social conditioning they get from watching 8 hours of TV. And hearing from their pulpit in church, and hearing in the schools and secular schools on Monday. I say it's a good cop and bad cop, what Christianity and Judaism are doing. One is like, don't you want to be a good person and go to heaven and believe all this raceless nonsense? And the other one is, oh, you better believe that, or else you're a hater and evil extremist, and you will literally be thrown in jail, like Alfred was, Allison was. Like, or you'll be sued, or you'll have your livelihood taken away. You'll be fired. They got a whole array of penalties they can work on you, and economic punishments as well. Alienate you from your own family. Seize your kids. Use your views against you in court. There's all manner of things they can do, but that doesn't change the fact and the truth, and we have to stick to the truth. We're right, and what we're saying is what needs to be done, and the world we envision is completely and utterly possible. We whites will flourish when they are independent, on their own, sovereign in their own nation or nations. They will absolutely flourish the way Orania is flourishing. Now, Jan, you've never been there,
have you? I've been sitting and waiting for a time to get to that topic.
Well, that's why you got to jump in and yell over me, because God knows I'm not shy about yelling over other people. When I read that article recently, I reviewed the last 6 months. So have you actually gone there now?
I went there in 2010, and
Okay.
I want to go there again in the next couple of years.
Yeah, you must have told me that, and I'm forgetting it. I was thinking maybe you've been back
I
there,
want to tell
but
you about it. I want to
Alfred, you know what this is, right?
Yeah, I know. I've read about that a long time ago already. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's been going on. It's actually been around longer than I realized. I think they started in the 60s, but what's the status of it now, Jan? And your personal observation.
Alex, they seem to really be moving upwards economically, but it's almost as if big business is starting to work with them. But I want to tell you just a few things about Orania. By the way, did you see that Orania built their own
Let's set the
solar?
context. Yeah, and this is a bunch of essentially Afrikaners. They're all Christian. They're very Christian. They pretend
Yes.
that race is not the reason, but basically they did what their ancestors done. They up and hauled off to some remote, I guess, semi-desert-like location, but they've done so well. They're building so well. They recognize, and under the Constitution, they have the right to, you know, ethnic self-determination or whatever. Now, how far that, you know, like Alfred says, the fact something's written on paper doesn't mean anything. I mean, the blacks can come in and sweep them over anytime they want when they're this small. But nevertheless, over a few decades, they built up a very substantial thing. They get new people coming in. They have very little to no crime. And they're an Afrikaner little state, so they did what their people have done earlier in history. Just up, relocate, and build something out of nothing. Go ahead, Jan,
yes.
Just so people understand.
Okay. Now, just to give you some other background on that, the concept for Orania was thought up by a professor, and this professor actually wrote a book, and he wanted a place where whites go and they are deliberately isolated from all other races and groups. That's why they picked that area. And it's an arid, semi-desert area. And the only thing that's really nice there is it's next to a big river, so they can pump water out of the river. So that is why they chose. So it was an academic idea, but it was, of course, to do a whites-only thing. And, you know, a thing about the whites in South Africa, Alex, is that even when they're Christian and they are, even when they are Christian, the Afrikaans community are underneath it all, they are racist. They might just never really tell you, but they do stick together in a way that other whites don't, and that the English especially don't know how. So that's the nice thing about the Afrikaners, is that they have a chance to survive regardless, even just with their silly Christianity, because deep down they have other values, and there are racial values, make no mistake, even if they don't say a word about it. Now, Orania isn't a political thing. Orania, in order to do it, they had to come up with a business concept. And it's a very special kind of business concept that they invented, because they can't openly actually do a truly racial thing. So they've got quite a complex method, and you end up becoming a shareholder in Orania
yeah.
in order to live in Orania. So that's how they managed to pull this thing off. It's very clever. But in terms of their stuff, they actually have a National Socialist work ethic. It's that everybody – it's a whites-only place. It's the only place in South Africa where the whites get out and whites do all the work, and it's freaking awesome. And it's lovely to go there. And they've even got little factories and things. Lately, their businesses are really expanding. Their property prices are going up. The most recent thing I read, where even the non-whites were saying, look at Orania, was Orania decided, as a result of all these power outages, because we've had the worst power outages ever in the history of South Africa this year. June was the nastiest month of all, okay? And Alex, They spend, they've actually got a white guy in charge of the electricity here in South Africa, but he's got to work according to the rules as laid down by the blacks and the government. So even though it's a white guy in charge, he can't do everything the way he wants to do it. So the whole system, the diversity doesn't work, okay? And then they go and they spend billions, huge amounts of money, and then they say, we fixed the electricity, we fixed it, we fixed it. And 3 weeks later, then the power outages start again. Then you hear something blew up or burned down or something. Like our power outages started again 2 days ago. In fact, the power was out today before the show. But Orania went, and Orania, a guy in Orania went and designed their own solar power system, and they put it up in this last year, and they're already more than 50% self-sufficient in Orania with power, with their own electricity. I want to tell you something else about Orania. The last I heard was that there were 2,600 people there. But, Alex, I knew a guy in Orania who told me that they actually used to get something like 12,000 applications per month from whites who want to move there. But he doesn't fully know the process. The people who actually run it seem to be very careful about who they take in. So I think part of their problem is they need to get the right people so that they don't have problems. But this guy also had the theory that the government may have put pressure on Orania, that if Orania grows too fast, that they've got to control it. If we could, it shows you that if 12,000 people apply every month, you know, over 10 years, you'd have hundreds of thousands. How many people would you have?
See, Jan, you have a real thing there, because if it's only 2,600 and there, nothing in the articles I read sounded like he even said, like, we've taken in people who just showed up here with some clothes and a plastic bag. And he said, we basically vet them for drugs and crime. They don't want any bums, but you know, you come there, you can get a house, and you can they'll put you to work immediately, and there's construction on every street. But 12,000 a month is that's wholly different from anything that's portrayed in the media. Like, the media always, in spite of themselves, show that it's doing well, but that's a like, there's six times the number of people who live there now want to move in every month.
Yes,
that's really
Alex,
the thing, if that's true.
Alex, I did a quick calculation now. If that was allowed, there'd be 1.4 million whites there within 10 years. And I heard this from a guy who lives in Orania, a very trustworthy, mature man.
I got it, Jan. But, like, how much total – do they even have enough room to expand that much if they wanted to, apart from political considerations? How much room do they own?
I don't know the exact size, but I think it's quite a big chunk of territory, Alex. When I was there, there was no discussion about a limit to the size, because they do their own farming and everything. I think they've got quite a big chunk of chunk of land.
You're a military guy. How big would they have to be before they could defend themselves?
Well, Alex, you know, even if you've got a few thousand whites, you can pull out of, you know, let's say 2,500, you'd easily still be able to get like 250 men together, you know, to be able to defend yourself against small scale attacks would not be difficult at all. You know, to just be able to handle crime and even some black political movements coming to attack you, 250 armed white men can easily hold people at bay. I saw that with my own eyes I saw that in Kulini in 2017 when the blacks were pouring in there. So, and Alex, there are, I just want to add, there are other kinds of almost Orania things. There's a place near Pretoria I've not been there myself, but it's a place that I have on my list to go to one day. It is also a type of Orania. It's not as good as Orania. It's not as self-sufficient, but it is also a place where whites go. But it's closer to the city, and only whites live there. It's a place that's on my list to go to. And I have been to a farm that is on the west side of Pretoria, where only whites live. They're a bit poor, but it's only whites, and they kind of look after themselves. It's, again, not as fancy, nothing close to the same as Orania. And there are sort of white squatter camps in some places where poorer Afrikaans whites are able to function. Alex, if it wasn't Orania, is definitely an example of the way to go. And this year, Alex, I did another video. I did another important video. Alfred might have heard of these people. In Canada, there are the people called the Hutterites.
The Hutterites,
oh man, the Hutterites are German Christians who also work together and live together in communities, and they're insanely wealthy. I mean, they're insanely wealthy, and it's just white men and women, and they're having lots of kids. It's National Socialism. You can slice it how you like it, man. National Socialism works. And the only thing about the Hutterites that I disagree with is that the Hutterites are peaceniks. But I've looked at that Hutterite model, and Alex, there's no reason why you can't take, you know, all this Jewish economics.
I understand. But Jan, the point on Orania, just conclude that. What do you see as the future for that? What did the person you were talking to who told you 12,000 are applying, what did he say about what do you have to tell the people listening to this about what's going to go on in Orania in the future?
Alex, from what I can see, Orania is just going to carry on growing, but it looks like there is some kind of limitation on their growths. Although they seem to be getting some kind of additional investment, but I don't have anyone close who's been able to give me more info. I'd probably have to go there to go and talk to people and find out a lot more, because
that would be interesting. I'll tell you that I would personally be very interested in that.
Yeah. Okay. Then,
so you're saying the black government is saying, well, look, if you start adding 1,000 people a month, we're going to come in and shut you down or something like that, or what?
Alex, let me tell you what happened many years ago. About 12 or more years ago, when I was doing African Crisis, I began to write a lot about Orania, and Orania was getting a lot of attention, and so much so that, can you believe, suddenly, out of the blue, the president of South Africa went straight to Orania, and the president pitches up there and he talks to them, and he goes, and it was on the mass media and everything, and everyone was all smiley and happy and everything. But what you don't know is, what did the president say to the people at the top of Orania? Did he convey a message to him? They focused, they did this more than 10 years ago. So we don't know, you know, what was said behind closed doors. That we don't know.
Okay.
But even the president, the black president of South Africa, went to Orania.
Well, I encourage people listening to this, go search Orania and look it up. Even though you get only leftist articles, you'll be able to read with your Team White knowledge between the lines and see what's actually going on there. Is very, very expectable. It's exactly what whites do when they're not subject to external oppression. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that, but very, very interesting.
Yeah, Alex. The future, I wanted to ask, for white people is always bright.
Always. Yeah, anything else going on in South Africa?
The main issue has been the power outages.
Yeah. Okay, let me interrupt you. be rude and interrupt you, but did you see, this is very South African, example of the increasing third worldization of the United States. We have in Jackson, Mississippi, again, the heart of the Black Belt, one of the two blackest states in the country, I think, along with Alabama. Jackson, Mississippi now has no effective, safe, potable running water. It's just got like coffee coming out of the taps. This is a place that's had like 7 or 8 black mayors in a row. It's completely incompetent. They literally cannot provide clean water. So you see Africa in time, anything that's run by blacks, they're faking stuff and they're demanding money. And they act like, and then the liberal whites come in and act like whites are being bad pet owners because they haven't done everything for these blacks while pretending they're capable of running themselves. But Jackson is, I believe, the capital of Mississippi, and it's completely black run. They've just utterly, utterly destroyed the black parts of the South where they have control. But yeah, not even running water. So we're actually even ahead of South Africa in some measures, maybe. And remember, the people remember also we had the same problem up in Flint, Michigan, which is also a big black town. So.
I have some more bad yeah. news for you, Mr. Linda. That there was a news article that I think of these blacks in Africa as the black Englishmen that we created.
Yeah, yeah.
Africa's filled with them. Well, listen to this. In some poll or some survey that they did, half of the young blacks in Africa want to leave Africa. Hundreds of millions want to fuck off out of Africa. Yet their parents were the ones who fought us because they wanted independence, and they wanted independence from white rule, and they said they could do better for themselves. Now there are hundreds of millions who want to leave. Most of them want to go to Europe. So,
well, sure, they want the soft, easy life that the Germans are, et cetera, are going to provide. And of course, the WEF types, the EU, want to bring in tens of millions of Africans. And they will unless they're stopped. The same thing as in the USA, where they bring in all kinds of Africans. But in Europe's case, it's much closer. So all they got to do is get up there and get a boat ride across the Mediterranean, and they're in there.
It's disgusting. Ben Klassen of the Church of Creativity, I love
creativity,
Ben.
Yeah.
In 1985, Ben Klassen wrote that he was already onto the immigrant problem and the southern border. And Ben Klassen said the solution to the problem at the Mexican border is a machine gun. I want to tell you the solution to the solution to European immigration is also just a machine gun. It's so simple. The invention that'll stop everything, invented in 1870, it'll still work very well, and it'll stop all our problems. It's not difficult. One final thing I'll add about South Africa that is important. Alex, our government is attempting to do all kinds of communist bullshit, and they come up with all kinds of weird, creepy ideas, and now they want to implement. They've been wanting to implement a thing called National Health (NHI), but this thing, we've got lots and lots of white Afrikaans people in the medical field, in the hospitals. Our medical field is very white, and Alex, it will probably destroy our doctors and stuff. So that is something that's sitting. It'll basically. The blacks are basically attempting to do to medicine and health what they were trying to do with farms. So that's also something that's sitting in the background. But I do believe that there's a lot of legal fight back going on in that regard. But at the end of the day, as with anything, the problem is just that whites need to start fighting back. But the more things come. One thing I've seen about whites is the more things come to people's doorsteps, the more people will start fighting. Like you've seen with the farmers in Holland, like you've seen with the truckers in Canada, etc. I personally think that ultimately all whites in all fields will have to start fighting back. Scientists, doctors, COVID has been good in that regard because it's totally stuffed up the health industry and it's kicked off. At least there are some scientists and there are some doctors and nurses who came forward and provided information. So COVID has not been bad as a wake-up thing. And, you know, the more these Jews and blacks come up with crazy lunatic junk, mm-hmm. I think it'll make whites crazier and crazier. I think whites eventually will literally lose their minds. And they'll just get to a point where they'll just grab guns and want to start.
We have to make sure that, in my opinion, that whites understand this is a biological matter, and we need to deal with it in a clean house manner and quit fucking around with it. And that's exactly what, and the design of Christianity is, oh, don't harm the Jews, a famous papal bull that's been in power for over 1,000 years. Don't harm the Jews. You're not allowed to harm them. Just let them practice their usury and enslave your population. So this was created by Jews and it serves them. And as the Catholic I cited before, I didn't name him and I won't, but Christianity, or he says Catholicism, protects Jews. And that's the historical fact of the matter. And we have these idiots thinking that Christianity is protecting white people from Jews. It doesn't say a damn thing about whites. It protects Jews from whites. You can't force convert them. And yet converting them doesn't change them, because that's where the word Murano comes from. They still act the same. Religion is a trivial thing compared to race. So absolutely. Don't be fooled by Jewish ideology like Christianity. Don't be fooled by it. Race matters. Biology trumps. Jism trumps ism, as it was once crudely put. But hey, I wanted to ask, Alfred, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there, yeah.
But we've been talking away too much. I wanted to ask you what it was like in prison in ethnically. Were there a lot of actual Germans in there, or were they all Muslims and Africans?
What did you see? I was the very smallest minority. I'd say the Germans were maybe about 8%, maybe 7 or 8%. The rest were all other peoples, like lots of Negroes and lots of Arabs and lots of, you know, just Eastern Europeans and so forth. But white people was a minority, and then Germans were the absolute minority. It was, at first I had the impression that I was in a prison in North Africa someplace with German staff. That's the impression I got. It was just you never hear German. It's always, you know, a lot of Arabic or a lot of other languages, but German is you never hear German ever.
That's something. Wow. Yeah, I suppose wow. You've compared notes with your sister in that regard.
Yeah, so that's I often thought, you know, it says, imagine living in a town with the general population being what I saw in the prison. And I says that's like a third world slum. It should not be our goal. It should not be our, you know, we need something better than that. I don't think our ancestors built the civilization so that we can have a big slum, world slum in our lands. That's where we're headed.
It really makes you angry. And I mean, I'm in a comparatively small town in Missouri of 17,000 people, and we've had multiple murders in the last year. And we used to have maybe one murder every 3-4 years. And now we're getting not just murders, but violent attacks, and like a bunch of blacks drive over to some other guy's house and start threatening him and stick him up and go down to Columbia and kill someone. And just more of the stuff, even in the heartland in the smaller towns now. It's just utterly disgusting.
But I'll bet you almost all of that's black violence, or is there actually white people killing each other too?
Oh, there are some whites, but I mean, even in a town like our town in the last decade has gone from like, say, 92% white to 82% white.
No, yeah.
But
yeah.
I would bet you that out of 10 serious crimes, probably 5-6 are minority and maybe 4 white, and that's where whites are 80%+ still.
Yeah, right.
And they were literally piping in Africans. I don't know if they still are. A lot of them got pissed off at the place they were working. They all apparently left for Ohio, and I have seen less of them, so that's a blessing. But, you know, they still we still also get the scummy blacks from Kansas City and St. Louis come up here because it's a little cheaper. But this is how it is everywhere. I mean, no, the minorities are, it doesn't matter how few of them, they're always going to be responsible for like half the violent crime, even if they're only 10% of the people, exactly the same as the national figures. But they, in the media downplay it. They can't totally hide it, but we had two blacks who committed what ended up being a triple murder. That's like, this is a town of 17,000 people. That's and amazing. Oh, the people are writing, oh, it was all drugs. Well, one of them, they shot a baby. They shot and killed, I guess, three other people, and they shot another, a fourth guy in the chest, but he survived. And he knew the black guy and who was young and his older friend. And then the black guy's, this is just typical social degradation. The black guy's sister immediately after, like a 50-year-old black guy, but the ringleader was like a 20-something-year-old black guy, go over to this house and shoot like four people, kill three of them, even though he knew one of the guys. And even though one of the other ones was the mother and a baby, he shot them both. And then his sister, and as it turns out, her girlfriend, who is white, so interracial lesbian couple, they drive him over to Kansas City. And of course, being a dumb nigger, he was caught in about 10 days. But and they basically didn't even do anything to the sister. They let her off with a this is funny. They let her off with a slap on the wrist for trying to aid and abet her brother after he committed a triple murder, right? Because they rounded up the other guy right away. But so she does that. They slap her on the wrist. Well, later she splits up with her white lesbian girlfriend and takes a shot at her in her car at some point. So that, I don't know if, hell, they probably already let her out for that. I wouldn't be in the slightest bit surprised. But this is crap that was never here, you know, like 20 years ago. And it just gets worse and worse everywhere, really. It's that's my little neck of the woods report. But, you know, like I said, the other day, you know, you read something about four men in a car go over to this guy's house on a different street, and just your typical, there's black movies on YouTube, you can watch how they operate. I mean, independent films, or they're just about the black life and black thug life. And that's what they do. They just go over and, oh, we're going to intimidate this guy. We know here, he's got a stash of guns or drugs or something, and we're going to stick him up. They threaten him. Then they went down to Columbia, 90 miles south of here, and they to meet some guy to rob him and killed him in the parking lot. There's just endless more of the type who would do that kind of stupid thing. And of course they were arrested because they were on video in the store parking lot. So people who aren't people, they can't really think 5 minutes ahead. So they do stupid shit, but it still leaves people dead. And it's disgusting. No one will talk about any of it openly.
But I think we're going to see lots and lots of that as our society breaks down, as the infrastructure breaks down. We're going to much of it. It's a war. It's a war, open war then.
Well, I mean, this guy is Ezekiel Kelly in Memphis, you know, which is not all that far from here. It's a few hundred miles maybe at most. It's not far from St. Louis, so it's probably 300 miles from here. He drives around for 19 hours and shoots eight people, or shoots six people and four of them are dead. He's let off from already an arrested murderer. So, I mean, you could multiply this just endlessly. The USA is experiencing complete social breakdown, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, let them kill. Let them carry on with their chaos. Eventually, whites are going to have to get angry. There are lots of white people, especially young women and children, who are yet going to be raped and killed. There are the unborn who will yet live through that. And you can thank Jews for, you know, at the end of the day, Jews in ancient times, the whole thing about Jews opening the gates to the city, Jews have basically done that with the Western world as a whole. They've like opened every door everywhere, and the whole Western world is just being flooded in ways you cannot believe. With Alfred, I'm almost finished. Alfred, yeah. With some of the stuff you were mentioning about the scum in the German jails, and not even real Germans in a German jail, the thing you need to think about is the menace of the lower man. We, as the higher man, we feel sorry. We feel sorry for others who struggle, who starve to death, etc. But you know something? We need to operate according to the laws of Mother Nature. If those people can't feed themselves, maybe it is right that they starve to death. If they can't create the medicine to fix themselves and they die, we should leave those things alone. This brings me back to that Christian missionary stuff. Here in Africa, if it wasn't for white people the population of Africa would not be one-tenth of what it is today. Whites, white people alone are responsible for the fact that there are almost 2 billion blacks on this planet. If it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be there. They would have died in childbirth. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. You know, back before when you said that the Jews are always opening the gates, yeah, that's always the final step after they have sucked all the value out of a society, and it's time for them to be exterminated. That's always the final step, is open the gates and let in the barbarians. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. They are there to kill us off so that we don't go and hunt the Jews down for retribution. I mean, it's no laughing matter what the Jews have done to the European people with these so-called world wars, and then holding their hands open for the Holocaust reparations. I mean, that is the child raper getting reparations for his sore penis. That's what we are seeing here. So that's what the Jew has to actually kill us off before too many other people think like I'm thinking and like we're talking on this show. And that's why they're so fanatically trying to stop this kind of talk. But everyone's talking like this now. I can talk to, I mean, and that's why the game truly is over for these Jews, and we're going to want to see some very exciting times in the very near future. So it's a good time to be alive. You know, we're not going to be bored.
We got to make a sweep of them. We got to stop being stupid and do what's rationally indicated. Okay, I'm so tired of morality being used to excuse. If the price of morality is lying and destroying your own people, what kind of morality is that? It's nothing I'm signing up for. I'll tell you that.
It is totally,
like you said, I'm defending myself and I'm going to defend my people. Fuck them.
It is total cowardice.
Well, I'm not afraid of your imaginary heavens. I have no desire for your imaginary heavens, and I have no fear of your imaginary hells. I see what's actually going on. I can rationally explain it in the simplest possible terms that make sense. That's everything we have said here complies with Occam's razors, the simplest explanation of what's actually going on. The Jews took over these white countries and they are now murdering them. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And if you stand against it, then you're with us here on this Team White podcast. That's the whole point of this, is for us to tell you stuff that we know. We're coming at you from three continents today. Take this and teach the people around you and be credible. Tell them to look it up. You don't even have to believe what we say. Look it up. It's all there, even between the lines or openly. It's all there.
The highest level of treason these days is to feign ignorance so as not to have to do anything. This, you know, if they kill us off, then all those now with their head shoved up their ass thinking that they can just duck and cover for a while, then it's their turn to die. We are either going to stand up to the task or we die. It's that simple. That's a natural law.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
So maybe we should close this call pretty soon. We've been on for 2 hours and a half, two hours and 30 minutes. That's
true. That's a long time. There's a lot to say. We're glad to have you back on. And man, it's been a lot. I couldn't even think how many years it's been. But
no, that's the 4 years of prison. You know what I call it? I don't call it a prison term. I call it a political assignment. You know, it really was. I could not have learned what I learned and what I have learned if I wasn't in prison. I had to go to prison to learn that. And it was the most valuable time of my life. Not that I want to go back there, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to bow down because I'm afraid of going back there. If I have to go back there, so what? I'll go back there. So what? You know, I mean, that's life. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, that's a good attitude.
Well, Alfred, from how I know you, I must tell you, it is an absolutely sickening, disgusting commentary on, quotes, modern civilization that you should have spent even one day in jail. There shouldn't, of all the people in Germany, you're the last guy who should have ever been in prison. Because, and in any sane society, it would never have happened. It would never have happened. It's only due to Jews. Jews don't want any whites who are proud of themselves and who tell the truth and who are willing to challenge Jews. It's only because of that that you went to jail, and it's disgusting, all the people that have gone to prison, or all the Germans who've ended up in prison to the point of being taken from other countries. I've heard there's another German, I'm not going to mention his name, he's involved also in the white right, and the Jews are trying to extradite him from America to go and do jail time in Germany. I spoke yesterday to another guy who's been in the movement a very long time. He's much older than us. And he told me that he was abducted from Denmark and thrown in a German prison for a couple of months back in the 70s. All of this is due to Jews suppressing us. They are suppressing our natural instincts. Yep. And I've looked at history, and I'm telling you, Jews treat us like cattle. They know how to mess with us. Our parasite, just as Alex has pointed out about parasites, look at a parasite. What does the parasite do? Jews are a parasite on us, and they've figured out how to mess with our heads and how to, you know, which buttons to press. But anyway, for today, since it's the first show and you've been out of prison, I just thought I'd let it open until you guys are tired, so that
it's a good time to wrap it up. Let me just say, Alfred Schaefer is doing 4 years, and every second of that for speaking the truth. In a Jew-controlled society, Ezekiel Kelly, guilty as an adult at 17, charged as an adult with attempted first-degree murder, got 3 years, and Alfred got 4 years, and Kelly was released early, and Herr Schaefer had to do every minute of it. So this is the world turned upside down. It's clown world. It's Semiticized for Jews' protection, and we need to change it and create a new white world where we can live among our own kind and flourish as whites always do, where they have themselves to rely upon. So thanks to everybody for listening to us today. I know it's been a long show, but it's good to have Alfred back and talking to people. And thank you for listening. And guys, do you have any last or closing remarks?
I just want to say people, okay, go ahead.
No, I've got nothing further to say. You can.
Yeah. I just want to remind people that this is the time for thinking this is a spectator sport is over. This is a participatory thing, and it's not it's not a game. This is a life and death thing, and every single person will be judged by everyone around them for when they did what to get this thing back on track. That's the defining thing now in everyone's life, is what they do or do not do, because feigning ignorance and pretending not to know is no longer an option. It's no longer plausible. And that's all I can say right now.
Agreed. That's a great point. And we want you listening to be part of Team White. But anyway, thanks for listening today. I hope we'll have you again. We'll be back with Alfred and Jan. And Jan, you have any closing words?
No, Alex, all is good. It was awesome having you guys here, and fantastic to have Alfred back. I tell you, when he went to jail, I honestly thought to myself, we might never see Alfred again. And the fact that we can, I can't tell you how happy I am. And he's, as always, he's positive and he adds value, and he's every inch a German. And I think that's a great compliment.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful way to close the show right there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with you with another Team White before too awful long.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com, you'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.